In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll have seen in the magazine that on the first Sunday of the month, I want to have a rather more in-depth look with you at some of the teachings of the Church, some traditional Christian theology and doctrine. And I thought, as we are celebrating the Book of Common Prayer, that we should start off by having a look at prayer, in particular, common prayer. O Lord, Thou hast given us an hearty desire to pray. So runs the collect for the third Sunday after Trinity in the Book of Common Prayer. There is something very Anglican about this. Our foundational document is not a statement of faith. No, what defines us and gives us our identity is a book of prayer. We are not presented with various propositions that we have to sign up to, but instead we are given the means to go and pray. In praying comes belief. Specifically, belief, faith, that is shaped by our common prayer. That is, prayer that is not limited by our own immediate concerns, the inadequacies of our words, or, let's face it, our own prejudices and hobby horses. Instead, this is prayer on a much wider and deeper scale that we can plug into, as it were, and which will carry our prayer when the light of our faith is low, when we are too tired, upset, or discouraged. At such times, the common prayer of the Church provides a scaffolding, like the one on the house across the road, a grist, a scaffolding for us that will carry us and support us. And what sort of prayer are we talking about? In some circles, people make much of the idea that you must just pray in your own words without any special form or structure. Well, you can, of course you can. And indeed, we all do it. But how much of the prayer is then about me and mine? Rather like all those choruses that have I in the first line. And if that is what you do, your own words, you have to start afresh with your own words each time. And the Church's vast resources of prayer remain untouched. By the way, I am not starting a Bring Back Book of Common Prayer campaign today. But what I am saying is, get to know something of that rich reservoir of prayer. You can start with the Psalms, of course. But there are also the collects, bite-sized pieces of prayer for all sorts of situations. And other bits of the liturgy as well. And yes, it is a special language. But that's the whole point. It is addressed, after all, to a special person. And it is there for special occasions. What we are doing here in church today is not like when we're shopping in Migros or something else like that. There are everyday activities, although of course God is there as well. And we can pray as we go round the shelves at Migros or whatever else, doing the ironing and so on. Some will also object, though, that the language of our liturgy, and particularly of this 16th century book, is too difficult. I want to know what I'm praying for. Apart from being tempted to ask, who's supposed to be in control here. I would also say, no, we don't have to understand. The poet T.S. Eliot wrote in Little Gidding, one of the parts of the four quartets, prayer is more than an order of words. The conscious occupation of the praying mind, or the sound of the voice praying. Prayer, then, is something we enter into, something from outside of us that our heart recognizes and feels drawn into. Like swimming in the Ara, we are carried along by the current of the language. The language of common prayer is special, whether it is written in the 20th, 1st century or the 16th. It is special because our encounter with God in prayer is not like the everyday encounters we have at home or at work. And the language too may stretch our understanding because it is expressing our relationship with one who indeed passeth all understanding. And this language goes deep. My first parish consisted of three villages in Wiltshire. In one of them, and by the way, it met in a tin hut because there was no church, but we had the most traditional services there, including matins, morning prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. And even though I had not been to matins since I was a teenager, I discovered I did not need to look at the book when we sang the service. These things stay with you, and they are there for you to draw on when you need them. Like, for instance, the collect at evening prayer, lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I find this a wonderful prayer to use, not just in the evening, but when I am perplexed, uncertain what to do. Lighten our darkness, O Lord. It's just what you want to say at that point. The words take over, and you are carried along by them, as they have done for centuries. It is no longer I am praying, but the Spirit is praying in me. Prayer, then, is not just about me and my God. It is much deeper and richer than that. It is our common heritage, shaping and informing our faith, making us who we are. There is so much more out there for us to discover, and having discovered, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. Let me finish with another prayer which bears learning deeply, inwardly. A prayer which some of you may know. It paints a whole series of word pictures and sends out flashes of light from within it, setting off new insights and further prayer. It's not actually in the Book of Common Prayer, but it dates from about that time. And it's a wonderful prayer that can move us from feelings of inadequacy to hope. A prayer when things seem to be kind of chaotic and not working out the way we wish. So let's finish with this prayer. Jesus Christ, Master Carpenter, who at the last through wood and nails didst accomplish man's salvation, wield well thy tools in this workshop of thine, that we, who come rough-hewn into thy presence, may be fashioned to a truer beauty by thy hand, for thy name and thy glory's sake. Amen.